It's time for a weekly look at Congress with USA Today politics editor Paul Singer. As conflict continues to heat up in Iraq, President Obama spoke with leaders from both parties in Congress earlier this afternoon about what steps the United States might take in response.
And after last week's surprise primary loss by House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, the debate continues in the Republican Party over who should take his place.
Paul Singer joins us each week at this time. Paul, good to have you back.
Nice to be back. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Well, so far, so good.
All right. Well, President Obama meeting with leaders from both parties to talk about Iraq. What was the president bringing to the table at that meeting?
Well, in fact, it's still going on, or it may have just actually broken up. Basically, you know, the president has said pretty clearly he does not intend to put people on the ground, boots on the ground in Iraq again. The problem is, of course, without that, it's not clear what else we can do to support the Iraqi government in trying to fight off these insurgents. Keep in mind, we're not big fans of the Iraqi government to start with. We're very unhappy with Prime Minister Maliki. We're very unhappy with the way they have built their government on a very sectarian basis. They've alienated a lot of people. We don't have great relationships there. We don't have great intelligence there is the other problem. I believe part of the conversation has been, you know, it's not clear that we know enough to know what to bomb where.
And what are we hearing from members of Congress?
Bit of a mix, really. Mm-hmm. You know, there is some sort of a hawkish wing, I guess you would say, you know, the McCains and the Lindsey Graham, you know, who will say, well, we should definitely be bombing and we should, you know, help Iraq fight these guys off. Keep in mind, at one point, McCain was saying, it would be fine with me if we were in Iraq for 100 years. I think his point was basically that an American presence is going to be necessary to stabilize that country for a long time. I think that's actually a minority view now. Now the question is, can you be a little bit at war? You know, can you send in drones? Can you send in air power without sending Americans into harm's way and getting us back engaged in a war that I think the American people clearly have said they wanted no part of, or they want no part of now. They've just worn out on it. There's not a lot of good options here.
You mentioned a couple of the senators who have been characterized as hawks on this issue and in the past. How about the more libertarian wing of the Republican Party, people like Senator Rand Paul, who's been accused, at least, of having an isolationist foreign policy? Have we heard from them on this?
No. And that's where you get into this really interesting question for folks like, you know, Rand Paul and some of the other Tea Party members who really do believe, for philosophical reasons, in a much more limited extension of U.S. power, that we should not be getting involved in conflicts all over the world. This one is a really tough challenge. I mean, you've got a group of the most bloodthirsty people, frankly. If you've seen any of the pictures that have been published of, you know, massacres being carried out by this jihadi group, who apparently is sufficiently unhinged that even al-Qaeda didn't really want much to do with them. But they're also in a position now to conquer significant parts of northern Iraq into Syria, and it becomes possibly a terrorist factory that we would have to respond to for years. So what do you do? I mean, this is exactly why I don't want to be president of the United States, and I think a lot of people don't, because there's no real good answers.
Members from both parties criticized the Obama administration for not informing them about the prisoner exchange for Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, captured in Afghanistan. Is today's meeting maybe a way to mend fences and say, hey, I am going to talk to you guys?
Well, you know, that's possible. I think the better way to look at it is if you remember how Obama handled Syria, is that he basically announced that we were about ready to bomb Syria for the use of chemical weapons. And then, after sort of a week of dissatisfaction from Congress, he pulled back and said, okay, well, let's ask Congress's permission and get them involved. And my suspicion is that this is more like that kind of situation where Obama wants to be able to say that he had congressional approval before he launched any strike, that he had briefed Congress, he had kept them informed in the loop, and that there was some level of agreement that this was an important thing to do.
Well, he's meeting with congressional leadership. One of those leaders is changing after his primary loss. House Majority Leader Eric Cantor said he's stepping down as House Majority Leader. Looked like this could be an epic battle, establishment Republican Party, Tea Party, trying to get this key leadership spot. And where are we at now?
Well, at the moment, the majority leader spot, I think, is a pretty easy deal. There's the current number three in the Republican leadership, a guy named Kevin McCarthy from California, is very likely to be able to move into that seat without a great deal of trouble. There's mm-hmm. one candidate against him, a kind of Tea Party guy from Colorado named Raul Labrador, who doesn't really have the resources to compete with the majority whip, whose job is, after all, counting votes. So when he wants to get voted up to the next job, he probably has the votes to do it. The more interesting possibility is what's going to happen after the elections in November. I mean, I think for the Tea Party groups, they feel like this race, these elections in the next, tomorrow, are really just placeholders. After the elections in November, a whole new crop comes in, and you get a chance to have what is essentially a referendum on the entire Republican leadership, including the Speaker of the House. I am almost certain there will be somebody who wants to challenge John Boehner for his seat as Speaker. Whether they'll win or not is a different question, but that's when they're going to want to make their stand. I don't think they're going to make a big splash this week.
And they're hoping that they will control both houses. Republicans are at that point, so a leadership position is maybe a bigger deal then.
Right, and for all of these senior positions, keep in mind, I mean, the majority leader is assumed to be the next in line for the speakership if the speaker leaves for whatever reason. There has been some rumors over time that John Boehner might be ready to leave because, frankly, being the Speaker of this House has been so annoying. But we'll see. I mean, it depends partly exactly, as you said, on what the outcome of the elections are. If the Republicans strengthen the majority in their House and take the Senate, these positions become really leading the country.
Well, whoever wins these votes within Congress may not get a lot of love from the rest of the country. A new Gallup poll out earlier this week showing Congress again dipping lower, lowest approval rating in a midterm election year in at least four decades, 16% approval of Congress.
Right, right. But keep in mind that the president's approval ratings are also going down. Mm-hmm. So it's not clear which party benefits from that. I think the thing that is clear, and I, to some degree, I think the Eric Cantor election showed that there's just a real dismay with Washington in general. If you've had anything to do with Washington, you are seen in a very harsh light. But since there are both Democrats and Republican incumbents running for re-election, it's hard to know how that sorts out in November, which ones suffer worst. I think clearly for the Democrats, they are at risk in more places, in the Senate particularly, so maybe that's worse news for them.
So something that I gather is being talked about a lot in Washington today and something members of Congress have talked about was Washington's National Football League team lost
Yes, sir.
The trademark over its name. The Trademark Commission said it's disparaging to Native Americans. I didn't know you could withdraw a trademark. What does that mean? What's the buzz around Washington on this?
Well, I mean, the first version of the buzz is that there are people who have said for years that the Washington Redskins is an offensive name for a football team and it should be changed. And the current owner of the team, Dan Snyder, is a litigious and unpleasant person most of the time. So he's never been really willing to talk about this much. Senator Harry Reid, the majority leader, went to the floor this morning after this trademark case and said, basically, the writing is on the wall. The name is going to change. Let's start deciding the new name. So, of course, every news organization and every Twitter feed and everything else is talking about what do you want to call them? The Washington Red Tapes or something. But it's hard to know. I mean, the team has already said they're going to challenge this. The last time this happened in the 1980s, similar ruling from a similar panel at the U.S. Patent Office, it was ultimately overturned by a judge. So, still a long road to go, but it's hard to imagine in modern times that you could carry on with a name like this much longer, but who knows?
In other congressional sports news, I guess there's a big baseball, softball game going on out there?
The big softball game, yeah. There's an annual women's congressional softball game as a fundraiser for breast cancer. And it's become a great event. It's women member of Congress playing softball against women reporters who cover Congress. And it's at this community center on Capitol Hill, and it's a great event. I mean, Nancy Pelosi and John Boehner will probably both show up and cheer on their team. There's all kinds of trash talk going on online, and the women members of Congress and the women reporters sort of, oh yeah, watch out, buddy, I'm going to get you at third base. It's hilarious, and it's a great game, and it's a great cause, and everyone shows up, and I think Debbie Wasserman Schultz is the captain of the women's team, and if you follow her Twitter feed at all, you'll see Democratic politics salted nicely with softball. So, that'll be 7 o'clock tonight, assuming we don't get rained out by the weather.
Sounds like a fun break from a lot of what else goes on in Congress. Paul, thanks for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure, Rob. You guys be well.
We've been speaking with USA Today politics editor Paul Singer. He joins us each week at this time to take us behind the scenes and out of left field in Congress.